be a few months. Must be at least 2 months. So great. Now, thank you. Thank you. I always start every service with praying God's blessing in Aramaic. And I say, it was good enough for Jesus, so it's good enough for me. So, Halachuma Ana, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Shemid Baba, Prona, Brocha, Kosha, Ha'alacha. Amen. That's better. Great. Now, I hope you all had a very good Yom Kippur. Now, I must confess, the thing what I really found difficult was not the 26 hours of fasting. That was easy. No internet, no Facebook, no anything. So it was quite good. Quite good for praying. Quite good for coming near to God. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. But I wonder if when the Lord drew up Yom Kippur, whether He really knew about Facebook. And I'm sure he would have said, no, not today. So, I want to ask to look briefly at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 13. 2 Corinthians 4:7-13. Who wants to read it? Come on. Peter, you work for me. Your job is to read it.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
Great. Now, in good evangelical fashion, I've got to give you the points of the sermon. It all begins with P. Pots, perplexed, persecution, power, and glory. Right? It starts with pots. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay are pots. Now, in a really strange way, a certain pot, not very far away from here, is very important to our work and ministry, even in Iraq. Did you know that down the road in Bethlehem there's a shop called Candor Store. And it's shop owned by the family of my driver, Hannah. Shibley is his brother-in-law. And they have a very important pot in their shop. It's a pot that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in. Have any of you been into that shop? Some of you have. And it's a very significant place. Don't tell anybody, but they've not just got the pot, they've got fragments of the scrolls left as well. They're hidden though. And this pot shop, the pot is in a glass case in the shop, is very important because I go there all the time. But in our ministry, amongst all of our Iraqis, and particularly amongst the Iraqi refugees in Jordan, from that shop has come one of the most important things for us, which is the olive wood Bethlehem cross. And that cross, simple as it is, has given our people such hope. We gave all the children in our school. We have a school now with hundreds of children. We have a clinic. We have a major relief program feeding people. We have a housing program housing people. But it's the school and giving them the cross which gives them hope. You see, for these children, they have all suffered so much. So much. I can remember when I gave all the children their cross. It was at Christmas last year. And now every time I go back to the school, the children have got their cross. Some wear it around their neck, but all of them will have it in their pocket. And I said to one little boy, "Here's your cross." And he cried and he cried and he cried. He said, "Abuna, I wanted my daddy to have my cross. But Daesh, the ISIS terrorists, they got my daddy and they killed him. My daddy's not got a cross." So I took one of the crosses and I gave it to Jamal. And I said, "This is your daddy's cross. Come with me. We're going to take it and put it on the altar. And your daddy will know that that's his cross." It brought joy back to his face. There, a little boy who had lost everything, who had lost his daddy, now had a cross to give to his daddy. Each time I go to Shibley's pot shop, I get more crosses. And only a few weeks ago, I was with the children in the class. And I said, "I'm afraid I've got to go away for a week now. You won't see me. I'm going over to Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem." Do you know what else Al-Quds means in Arabic? Where are the Arabic speakers? It means the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that? Coming here is going to the Holy Spirit. And so Jamal said to me, Abuna, when you go to the people in Al-Quds and elsewhere, will you give them my cross? And I said, Jamal, yes, I'll give them your cross. But I gave him another one anyway. So who wants Jamal's cross? Anybody? Look, I like you. Come here. You can have Jamal's cross. Because Jamal was as big as you were. Here we are. Have you got a cross like that? I think I should give you one of my special pens. I always give out special pens. Have you seen a pen like this? Look.
No.
Yeah. It's the Light of Jesus pen, right? And this pen says Jews and Arabs unite. So you press it three times, and now you've got a pen and a cross. You did well today. I'm really pleased with you. Do you know, when I came up here, I thought, I hope I can give my cross to him. And I did. What's your name? Jar. Sa'ah. Sa'ah has got Jamal's cross. I will tell him. I will show him a picture. And afterwards, I want to get a picture of you on my iPhone with Sa'ah having his cross. Right, so that's the pots bit. Perplexed. We are perplexed. We have this treasure in pots, every side but not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair. We are really perplexed. Yes, for many years, I was the vicar of Baghdad. Now, I'm in Jordan with my perplexed, suffering, and persecuted people. They have lost everything, but one thing they will say they have not lost is Yeshua. We say Yeshua, not Yeshua. Because you just speak Hebrew, we speak Aramaic. So we're a bit older than you. I'm not sure about that, but it's basically the same. It's very interesting that Aramaic and Hebrew are very similar. Hebrew and Arabic are not similar at all. Aramaic and Hebrew are so close together. So, we are there in this perplexion. Don't we all ask the question, why, Lord, why? Why are we in this situation? Why have our people been murdered? Why have our loved ones been taken? Why? 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 That is perplexion. Do you want to know the answer? Do you? Well, I don't know it. There is no clear answer. All we know is that Yeshua said he is coming soon. And he said that 2,000 years ago. So he had a bit of a problem with timing. And I often say, when, Lord, when? You said it was soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. But in our perplexion, in our persecution, we have seen the King. We have seen His glory like no other. It's quite difficult when we keep seeing angels all the time. I was trying to take some big pictures, or my adopted son was taking some pictures for one of my new books, which is out there. They're on sale, all of them. They all help our people. But we were taking these pictures and the angels kept getting in the way. They were everywhere. And Dad was saying, Daddy, I can't take pictures. The angels are there. They keep getting in the way. I said, look, don't worry, Dad. I'll go and have a word with them. I said, look, I know we really need you. I know you're very good PSDs, personal security detail, but do you think you could just give us a break for a minute? 1 minute? Did they? No. So they're in the pictures in the book. If you want to see them, buy it. Simple as that, isn't it, chap? That's how we do it. So, we see angels, we see Jesus. People say to me, how do you cope with your evangelism in the midst of places like Iraq and Jordan? I say, no problem. Jesus does it for us. I have got several people in my flock who converted to Christianity. Not one of them have I preached to. Every one of them has had Yeshua come to them. And he has sat by them on their bed. And they have said to me, why does this man in white keep coming to us? I said, don't worry, it's Jesus. Just do what he says. What does he say? He says, follow me. I said, well, do it then. It's as simple as that. And they do. Now, I'm being absolutely honest now. The last person who had Yeshua come in white to him was one of the military commanders of ISIS. One of the extreme terrorists. He had killed our people. And you know what he did when Jesus came to him? He left ISIS. and he started following Jesus. And he is still doing that. I can't tell you where he is because it's wanted. And they'll come and get him if I explain too much. But isn't it amazing that however evil the person is, Hashem, God, can go to him. Wherever, whoever, he is waiting. And that is soon and very soon. That is our Lord appearing unto them. And this time of Sukkot is a wonderful time because it's really a festival about persecution and glory. Yes, they wandered through the wilderness 40 years. They didn't know that they would get there. And even though they were miserable and moaning and perplexed and really quite annoying, yet eventually they did get there. And the whole concept of the Sukkah is that this was a residence, an instrument of perplexion. We didn't want this. We suffered greatly in the desert. And now we sit in this Sukkah and we look up to the sky through the open branches which cover it. And we know that God's glory is still here. We may not have wanted to have spent that long in the desert, but finally we have got there. Finally, salvation has come. Finally, our Yeshua has come to dwell amongst us, and it is all made known. But we keep waiting for that day when all Israel shall be saved. And amongst those all will also be some of the bad guys of ISIS. How's your pen doing? It's not lighting up, is it? Oh, sorry. Would you like another one then? Have another one. And look, I'll give you this one to give to anybody, all right? Come on. Yalla, baby. Of more. Now you decide who that one is going to now, alright? Ah. You haven't given it away yet. Well, your brother can have another one. Here we are. This one is for your brother, but that one has got to be given away first. Quite complicated, isn't it? You see, a little boy thinks he's coming to church to have a rest. And he's... There we are. Right, your brother's one. Don't forget your brother. Is this rather a good morning at church? Is it rather good? I like you. I share with him for one reason. Because that has given us an insight into what our community is really like. We are with children who have lost everything, but we give them something, and it gives them hope. It gives them joy. It gives them a purpose. And it gives your brother a pen. Yeah, and they laugh. My children, I have over 300 now at school. Do you know how I started school? Because one of the families I was visiting, they were all crying so much. Their father, their uncle, their cousin were all killed one day by ISIS. And I was with them. And this little boy was called Mario. And we paid for the rent for their house. They were about to be evicted. And we gave them food because they had no food. And Mario came up to me and he asked for two things. Firstly, he said, "Abuna, will you be my daddy now?" I said, "Mario, of course I'll be your daddy now." I said, "Is there anything else you want?" He said, "Yes, I want school." Now, Iraqi refugee children in Jordan are not allowed to go to school. No education for them. So I said, "Mario, I will give you school." Little did I realize that starting a school is quite hard work. You need teachers, you need a building, you need to get them there. So, within 2 weeks, we had a building. We had teachers. And we had buses to take them all to school. I needed thousands and thousands of dollars. I didn't have it. I said, "Lord, you want me to do this? Help me to do it." He did. Every single dollar that I needed came in. All. From God. It was amazing. It still is amazing. My budget used to be about, what did our budget used to be? A few thousand dollars. I only needed $175,000 a month in the old days. Now I need nearly $1 million every month. Every month I have had all that I need. And why? How? Because my people are your brothers and sisters. And your brothers, their brothers and sisters, you have helped them. And that is how we have done it. And that is how we will continue to do it. And so we may have these pots with the crosses by them and the Dead Sea Scrolls in them. We may be so perplexed in not knowing why. We may have suffered intense persecution. But we have also seen the power and the glory. And that is still with us. I find it very hard being away from Iraq. And yet, the bizarre thing was, I used to say, I really hate Jordan. It's the most boring place in the world. And suddenly I found myself in Jordan. And the amazing thing was, God had a plan. I have 29 godchildren. I know you're not supposed to have any special godchildren, but I do. And one of them used to come to this church, didn't she? Or her family did. And she started studying Arabic at London University. And she went to do her year abroad in Jordan. And I adore her. She's coming to work for me next year. And she is so full of the Holy Spirit. And she was so into her work with the Iraqis. And she speaks fluent Arabic. And the really amazing thing is that our work, as those pens say, is to unite Arabs and Jews. We don't just love the Jews, we love the Arabs as well. And I started off my life as a yeshiva student here in Jerusalem. I was so pro-Israel, so pro-Jewish, and in reality I still am. But I'm also pro-Arab. I end up becoming the vicar of Baghdad. I end up being in Jordan, and I end up having my goddaughter go there. Who used to go here. She was born here. I dedicated her in the Garden of Christ Church, Jerusalem, when she was 3 weeks old. She was born on the highway between Mevaseret and Yerushalayim. In the car. Didn't quite get here in time. But she'll be back here. So it's amazing how God works. I didn't want to preach on this today. I wanted to preach properly on Sukkot and not on pots. But pots and perplexion and persecution are what we have had. We had all of our Bibles destroyed amongst Christians. They literally ripped them up and burnt them. And it was only then, here in Jerusalem, out of the Galilee, that we got these Mega Voice Bibles. You've seen them, haven't you?
Hello, this is Charles.
And
Alan Bicker. هذه رسالة لك. من الدكتور القس
They speak in Arabic. So these Bibles are solar powered, so they don't run out, and they're in English and Arabic, and it's all there. Who'd like it? First one here gets it. Where do you live?
I live in Bay Tabor. Where am I from?
Yeah.
The United States.
You're an American? Can we give it to an American? Yes. Because Jesus even loves the Americans. I've loved being with you this Sukkot. I've loved speaking to you about pots, persecution, perplexion, and power. And glory. And God's power and His glory will also go with you. Look, you're here from all over the world. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome. It's wonderful having you. But you have come here. And God is here already. And He wants you to return with some of His might, His glory, and His power. But do you know what else He wants you to return with? Some of my books. Because that is what keeps our people going in the refugee centres. In Jordan. And I thank you that with you we have been able to keep going forward. I thank you that the glory of God is here. The glory of God is with you. And the other thing I always say is don't take care, take risks. So take your risks this week and wait, because soon and very soon, bye.